laced up.
Let's go!
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Welcome back to Banter with the Boys, Fast Laps. Oh, my last sip of whatever just didn't go down right there, so that sounded off. But we're here. Anyway, too much information. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you for being here for the last two years.
Thank you for finally having me on.
Thank God you finally made it.
You guys got me.
Yeah. You're here for the long haul, I think, even.
Well,
TBD.
Yeah, we'll see.
TBD.
We'll see how this works out.
Long haul TBD.
And Mike?
Not here for the long haul.
Is also here. No, you liar.
I'm kidding.
Mike, again, for the second week in a row, was able to D's out of work and get here for the show. You know?
Yeah. His coworkers hate him. His
coworkers hate this one trick.
He just leaves.
Yeah, just walk out.
Just gets out of here. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess.
Kev.
Kev.
We won't forget about him.
Kev behind the camera. We still need Kev Cam and Kev Mike.
My goat.
Definitely common if we need Kev Cam and Kev Mike, but it's going to happen anyway. It's just a matter of time. I mean, I guess summer break. Actually, I had an idea for summer break really quick. We need to figure out a way, and I'm not technologically advanced enough, probably, but we need to find a way, and maybe we just do time trials, right? But we need to find a way to film us doing a time trial or something, ideally a race, right, where we're all on our own system, but that's beyond me. Mm-hmm. But if we do, like, a time trial and able to put it on YouTube, Kev, that'd be sweet. Or Facebook Live, even something like that would be sweet. I'm gonna lose and get third, but that's fine. But it'd be fun, you know what I mean?
It would be a lot of fun.
Five laps. Give us your best lap at. We should start somewhere easy, like Australia or something. But
Australia,
yeah, you love Australia, but don't you?
As of recently, I like Australia.
I guess if we want views, it'd be Monaco, right? But
ooh, God, no, please,
man. That'd be hard, man.
I feel like Silverstone,
and full
right?
damage on, like full simulation, yeah, like
I always play full damage.
I won't make a lap.
That's true,
because I'll nick the wall and my wheel.
Well,
you also
play with no assets, right? Are you
like
try
an
to?
Idiot? Like yeah. an idiot?
He plays with most assets, I think.
I play with a handful of assets.
Handful.
We'd figure out the settings beforehand, set them up, so we all play with the same stuff. If you guys play automatic trans, though, I definitely got to have manual at least.
I'm definitely going manual.
Otherwise, I'll feel naked. Yeah. But like, otherwise, all the other assists, let's just throw them on. No judgment.
Hey,
that's not a requirement.
Definitely no judgment.
No, that's not a requirement.
Okay.
But if he wins, then we can bully him.
Then we can bully him.
Yeah.
And I will bully you.
Yep.
Yeah. He already does.
Yep. Speaking of, F125 coming out soon, so.
It is. Are you guys getting it?
Probably.
Sheep.
Are you getting a job?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm not going to get it right away. I just can't.
We got to be able to do the time trial during summer break.
We have to.
Now.
You're right. I mean, we could go F124.
That's a thing.
But, like, I mean, then again, I hated F124. Like, you know how
that's not as fun.
How angry I was with F124.
Then I can't. You know what? In F125, do you think it'll be Jack Doohan or Colapinto in the seat?
I bet you when it launches, it'll be Doohan. And then if he sticks around, they'll add Colapinto.
Cool.
So they added Rick Ricardo when he took over for DeVries in 23.
Yeah, but that's really. I mean,
they did. It took a little while. They will add him if they don't keep swapping them out. They will, but like if they keep swapping out, I doubt they'll do it.
But right now, we don't really know who's going to end the season in the second seat in Alpine, I don't think.
I agree.
Considering this GP.
We're going to have to talk about that today.
I know. Yeah. Might as well. Let's just get into it, Kev. Let's just get into the Emilia-Romagna?
Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix.
Yeah, Parmesan cheese. Yep. Bring back. All right, of course, we got, we just got the Emilia-Romagna, typical.
You almost made him spit up.
almost
got the Emilia-Romagna.
Almost got Joe's mic wet?
No
I don't
deal.
Know. All right, anyway, man, I should not have free-gamed this show, huh? Anyway, FP, we got FP for Emilia-Romagna.
We do.
GP, yeah. Yep, Joe, you look like you got some notes. You just pulled them out.
I have lots of notes.
Let's just do them because I got some stuff to say about quali because that was wild. But sure, yeah, go for it.
I cover FB, you cover quali, and then we'll kind of
and then screw Mike. Yeah,
we're banter a little bit. He'll banter.
Yeah, Mike can just hang out.
He likes to yap.
Yeah.
So first, I just want to know.
He's not even a part of the show.
I think this was this was in FP1, and I kind of agree with him. One of the commentators talking about Alpine and Colapinto's kind of five race chance to prove himself. One of the commentators said, "It's absolute nonsense. Not how I'd run a Formula One team," which I just thought was like, "Yeah, that's fair."
That's hilarious.
I don't know if you have. I think it probably was a former driver. Oh, God, or, you know,
I need to print that quote out and put it on my wall in the new house.
Yeah, I mean,
I move in 2 weeks, but okay, I should put that on the wall house in two weeks.
Just paint it on the wall.
Not how I'd run a Formula One.
Not how I'd run a Formula One team.
I love that.
Team,
that's
no.
hilarious.
Gabby crashed it at the end of FP1, unfortunately. And then I believe this was FP2. Hadjar spins off into the gravel. He actually looked like he was about to get out, but he ends up beaching it with 7 minutes left in the session. Beaching, so that ends FP2.
My favorite term.
And then one thing that I think we should be talking about pretty much through the entire pod is the new tire setup that they had this weekend.
The Extreme Softs.
The Extreme Softs, correct. Yeah. And how in FP3, the tires looked really good. Nice. The tires looked really strong. People seemed to be doing really well with them. And then when they hit quali, it was just, oh no, FP2. FP2, they were doing really, really well. And then FP3, Saturday morning, they were just god-awful for some reason. They just could not hook them up. They were dying really quickly. They just were not working. And that kind of translated through the rest of, well, through qualifying at least. So yeah, that's all we got for FP. Race quality, Smeltzy, you want to kind of tee us up?
I don't know, just pure chaos, honestly. I was happy my boy Gasly made it to Q3.
Yeah.
And then did nothing with it after that, but that's okay. GP didn't go awesome for him either, or Alpine as a whole, so we'll just move on from them. But yeah, no, quality was wild. What blew me out of the water was the end of Q3. Or, I'm sorry, end of Q2. Sorry, end of Q2 is the Aston Martins both getting into top 10, pushing out the Ferraris. Kimi also was out of the top 10. I don't know. Yeah. That, like, the whole Q2 session just blew me out of the water. It was, it was probably the most exciting qualifying I've seen this year anyway for me. And it just, like, we haven't seen a ton from Aston, so it was cool to see them put down a couple fast laps, obviously. Ha, no pun intended. Just realized that. Anyway, but and they didn't get any points in the GP, but, you know, it was nice to see.
Aston did bring a pretty big upgrade package this weekend, so that's...
What was it? Do you know what it was?
I don't know exactly what it was, but I didn't know they talked about bringing a upgrade package this weekend, and this was supposed to be one of their big ones. I think they're planning for, like, one more this season, but, yeah, so... And to be fair, like... Alonso qualifying P5, really good, and then he just kind of got hosed by his safety car. He complained about how he's the most unlucky driver in the world.
That's one of the comms for sure. Yep. I'm sure all of us grabbed that one, but something about being the effing most unluckiest driver or something. Unfortunate. When did Yuki crash? Was that Q1?
He crashed in Q1.
Yeah.
Pretty early in Q1.
Yeah, it was
12, 13 minutes. Yeah, it was about... Yeah,
it was actually.
Only half of the field had gone on a lap, so he crashed with 12, 13 left. Big crash.
Yeah.
Yeah, so starting from the pit, obviously, for GP, but good to see him walk away from that with, I don't think, literally any injuries.
He literally walked out of the car.
Yeah, I mean, and he hit the wall hard, flipped once. It might have been twice, I can't remember. But, I mean, he hit hard, and good to see him walk away and be able to finish the GP and even in a top 10 at that. But, anything else on quali for you, Joe?
I think just, and this is not Colapinto's fault, he goes into the fast lane before the resume time is confirmed. That was just, the team, I think the team was trying to stop him from going, but they didn't tell him ahead of time. So not his fault. I think he lost a place for it, which ended up, not really mattering too much because he ended up crashing at the end of Q1 as well.
Yeah.
Him crashing, I think it actually effectively knocked Lawson out. Not saying that Lawson would have gotten to Q2, but Lawson could not finish his lap to try. So, just thought I'd throw that in there, too.
Also with Q2, I think it was Q2, if I remember right. Wasn't that Wasn't that when Bierman got screwed over?
Yes. Yeah, so
that was incredible.
No, it was Q1.
It was Q1.
Okay.
So that's where I was miffed with Colapinto, because he crashed right there at the end, causing the red flag to come out, where literally, like, right before Ollie crossed the line to finish his fast lap, and his time actually went on the timing chart and then got taken off.
Correct.
And he put himself in 10th.
Right.
So he hooked up a fast lap.
Yeah.
And then they just took it away. And it was just because he was just a little too, like, it happened just at the wrong time. If they had waited literally a second on the red flag, he would have had it.
Oh, yeah. I looked it up because he was in that car waiting, and then Bortoleto, like, went out onto the track as he was waiting. So it was just like, okay, it's definitely
happening. Yeah, as
soon
as Bortoleto left, everybody's like,
what are you going to do? Dang. Like Bortoleto, like,
they probably told him.
What if Bortoleto, like, did get knocked out and he was on track?
Is that like a fine or points?
I feel like they couldn't.
Or a time penalty for the GP.
We watched Sainz run over in Vegas? Run over a sewage drainage plug or whatever,
and then
destroy his car, and then still had to, like, pay everything for it.
Yep.
They probably could have fined him. I don't know if they would have.
I think Bierman got screwed over. Had a killer lap. I mean,
The timing, I looked it up because it wasn't, like, clear. I looked it up after the fact. It was truly tense. He crossed the finish line tenths after the red flag was thrown.
Dude, that's heartbreaking. Yep.
That's what I'm saying.
That's heartbreaking. He could have had a completely different GP.
Yep.
100%. That sucks. Anyway, so GP, right? Yuki starts from the pit. Our starting grid ends up being, after quali, Piastri, Verstappen, Russell, Norris, Alonso, Sainz, Albon, Stroll. Those last four names blow my mind.
Yep.
Hadjar and Gasly.
Last six names, kind of, right?
Calm down. Gasly should be there. He belongs there. Okay. But Hadjar. Okay. Yeah.
No bias.
We can throw Hadjar.
No Alpine bias
Isaac
here.
In there. No problem.
I mean, we got to talk about it, right? Like, we should be expecting, I mean, one Red Bull, right? Hopefully two.
We should be expecting two
McLarens.
But he crashed, so.
Two Mercedes and... Hold on, my math is wrong. Give me a second. Two Red Bulls,
seven,
two McLarens, two...
Five.
Six.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
Where did it leave off? Two Red Bulls, two McLarens, two Mercedes, two Ferraris. Yeah. And then the last two are kind of up for grabs in terms of a team, right?
I would agree.
I'm going to take their beers away.
That was not the case, right? What was that?
I said I'm going to take their beers away.
Yeah, I should have came straight here afterward. Yeah, that's probably the problem. God dang it. Go on. Sorry.
No, but it is interesting that the bottom four, five, I mean, Alonso, Sainz, Albon, Stroll, Hadjar, Gasly, the bottom six.
Yeah.
Not normally there.
True.
Right?
I mean, so truly.
Or at least those last two spots are
a toss up between those six.
Exactly.
You know, and they're all up there.
Well, I think, like, a couple of them are somewhat normal. Like, Hadjar is not too unnormal. Albon is not that unnormal.
Out of quali, though, specifically.
Yeah, No, that's what I'm saying, though.
And it's, I mean, like,
Albon has only had, what, like, two qualifyings thus far this season where he hasn't been in Q3? Like... Which is unbelievable.
Only two?
Yeah, it was like two or three, I think.
Really?
So, like,
I don't know.
Yeah, wow. They said it during, like,
Williams
during the race.
No, I'm just kidding.
Like right at the beginning of the race, they were talking about it, and they mentioned him, how he's been in Q3 for all of, I think, two races.
And Williams looked incredible.
Yeah,
they did. They really looked so good.
This race as a whole. I mean,
for an upgrade package that was for last weekend, it coming back and still doing the numbers this weekend felt good.
And where you're going now, you're heading into a track this week that's all about qualifying and where you can be. I mean, what a great opportunity for Williams heading into this week as well. But all right. Let's give Max Verstappen his flowers. Getting P1, finishing 10 grid is going to be Verstappen, Norris, Piastri, Hamilton, Albon, Leclerc, Russell, Sainz, Hadjar, and Tsunoda. For our Spotify, really anything outside of YouTube listeners, Joe was just holding up his Max Verstappen sign. What is going on? Absolute cinema? What was?
The overtake.
Oh, the overtake on Piastri? Yeah, it was really good.
Well,
Piastri took the corner poorly
and backed out.
Max
and
still backed had out. A good he had a good overview.
And Piastri ended up backing out.
Piastri backed out because Max had sent it on.
I mean, it was one or the other, right? At some point, somebody's going to make a decision.
Piastri claimed he broke too early as well.
Right. But, like, it was still, like, a super crazy dive bomb from Max.
Yeah.
And it's just a Max Verstappen move, which was incredible. It was a classic Max Verstappen. Not in a negative way. I mean, it was, masterclass. What a good way to put
it. And how to overtake.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, that's got to be, like, one of the best overtakes we've seen all year. Along with Oscar overtaking Hamilton in Australia. Like, those two.
No, Oscar overtaking whoever he did in Jeddah is still the best overtake of the year. 100%.
On that outside.
You don't even remember outside.
1,000%. I can look it up. I remember the overtake.
You think it's great. You don't even remember who it was. I remember two overtakes.
It was Max
overtaking Oscar and Oscar overtaking Hamilton in Melbourne. Those are, like, the two best overtakes of the season.
You're wrong. It was Lewis Hamilton. You're talking about Lewis Hamilton on Saudi Arabia, right?
No, Australia? I'm talking about in Australia when he overtook Lewis Hamilton in Australia after spinning out and literally on the last lap in that last little chicane or that chicane after the straight, he overtook Lewis right there in a super crazy
overtake. Hey, Smilton, can you just watch this really quick and tell me that, agree that Mike is crazy, just... Just surgical.
What an overtake.
Didn't slow down even a little bit.
Nah.
It was Lewis Hamilton that he was overtaking as well.
But was it?
Sure. I mean, maybe he did overtake
him. Excuse you?
Maybe he did overtake him in Jeddah, but I don't remember that ever happening. So.
Maybe you just need a few more time.
Anyway, Red Bulls. Max Verstappen, P1. Typical stuff. Four in a row for him at Imola? Is that true?
Yeah,
I feel like it might be four in a row for him. I thought I have it down here, but it says four in a row at Imola, and I don't know if that's Verstappen or if that's Red Bull.
That
I'm assuming it's Max Verstappen.
I'm sorry, you're right. Australia, that was a really good overtake. I just watched it. It was a very good overtake.
You're darn right it was.
I still think Jeddah's in the conversation, and we can talk about it later.
Okay.
yes, this is the fourth consecutive Imola win for Max.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Can we argue that Max got lucky multiple times here? Not only with the safety car, but with the slow stops from Oscar's pit as well. I think it was Oscar. Lando had a slow one too. That front right tire changer really had a hard day.
It was a
for
bad,
McLaren.
Yeah.
He had a really bad one, and then he had a really good one. Stop was 2.1 seconds on the next one, and they were tapping him on the back. I was like, good for you, dog. You really redeemed yourself. And then he did it again. And I was like, dude. Yeah. And I'm not even a McLaren fan, but he's going to be feeling like
you're
crap.
You're totally right. I think his win is not luck. His win is because he got ahead of Piastri at the front.
Yeah.
I built
a crazy lead.
Yeah, I said this to you.
And he was 31 seconds ahead at some point.
Yeah, he was. The safety car definitely helped him like make his gap. Like he was like 20 seconds because of the safety car. Mm-hmm. Safety car restart, Piastri was behind with old tires. No way he was going to catch him anyway.
Yep.
Even if
later in the race?
Yeah, if they were same, like... Even if they had the same tires, like if it wasn't the lucky stuff that Max got met with, I still think he probably would have had it.
I
agree.
I think it would have been a lot closer though. It would have been a great battle. It would have been a great battle, but like, so into that, right? So Yuki, before we move on to McLaren, because I want to dive into McLaren off that right there at the end of the race there, but Yuki battling up from a pit lane start to finish P10 into points. I mean.
Awesome.
I'm good with that.
That's fabulous.
I'm good with that.
I don't think you could ask for more out of your driver. Like, that's...
Do you guys know if he got just, like, really lucky at some point or if he was racing the
Yuki?
Whole time? Yeah.
I think he was racing most of the time.
Now,
don't get me wrong. I don't know where the stops happened because I wasn't literally straight up. I was
so
not
after the first
him
after lap 30, he was cuts. Not... Yeah, after lap 30, he was not in the top 10.
Correct.
So he was still down. And then after the safety car, he was still not in the top 10. So I don't know.
So he battled his way up there.
He did.
Either way.
I remember him overtaking 4/10. I don't remember who he overtook, but I remember him overtaking 4/10.
I remember him. The biggest thing I remember from Yuki is that he didn't really hold up Piastri. He didn't hold up Piastri after his pit stop. He just kind of he let him through a little bit. Mm-hmm. But he did battle into 10th. So.
Well, he did try to battle him, but it was like, I think he was on older tires than Oscar was. Oscar was on literally brand spanking new tires. And like,
Yeah.
He gave it what he could, but like.
He did. I think it was also where they met was on the straight, and yeah. Oscar just had so much room to get him, so yeah. It didn't really matter.
And Yuki didn't have anybody in front of him to farm DRS off of, so.
Yeah.
I mean, he was fighting a McLaren with DRS.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
And with the McLarens, let's just head right into them here. But sure. Again, I want to go back to later in the race where the restart from the safety car, not the virtual safety car, the real one. You know, Norris finishing 2, Piastri finishing 3. Should they, because I can't remember how fast, because Oscar was in front of Lando, was he not, with older tires?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When did they decide to make that switch?
They didn't decide. That it just happened.
It just happened?
Yeah.
But it didn't happen for a few laps, right?
It didn't happen for a few laps, and that was
Do you think they should have made that switch early?
Ooh. So...
Oscar got a good jump. I mean, again, Max Verstappen is insane at safety car restarts. I mean, his timing...
Restart was crazy.
What are you going to do? But that's the second time we've seen it this season. He's ridiculous at it, right? And that, I don't like. There's got to be some sort of rule there. And maybe he's just so damn good, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But anyway, sorry.
No, you're good. No, that's super valid. And I honestly, on that point really quick, I don't think there is anything we can do. I think he's just really good.
I think
at
he's
them.
Just that good.
I don't think they already nerfed him, you know?
I know.
Because they banned the side by side on the restart. And so like if they do anything more, people are just gonna think that they're trying to slow Max down, which is
exactly what they'd be
he's
trying to
do. Incredibly good at those restarts.
To be fair, the FIA has done that before. They have changed rules specifically to target a driver because driver is so good.
No, totally. And they did that with Max for this rule, but other people were also doing it and it was becoming dangerous, so it made more sense in that scenario. If they were to keep pushing on this and nerf him more, then it would seem more targeted, and that's not okay in this day and age. Back in the day, you know, still not great, but probably less looked at.
I don't know if I hate it.
Nerfing drivers?
If they're incredibly dominant, you know, bringing them down.
I guess. I mean, no.
Leveling the plane.
Anyway. Do you think they should have had Lando swap with Piastri early? Right away. Like, I'm talking right off the restart. If you can get him within the first couple turns, make it happen and get it done so Lando can try to make a charge on Max. Or was it just like, it is what it is. Oscar's had insane pace this year. Yeah, Lando, pass him if you can catch him.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I honestly think that that's how it should have. So how it was played out, I think, is how it should have been played out. I think if you tell Piastri and Norris to, like, swap, then you put Piastri in a dangerous place of the people behind Norris.
Mm-hmm.
So like letting them kind of like figure it out themselves a little bit for the next couple laps puts them in a better place because they are fast. They are still in fast cars. I don't think they were in the fastest car this weekend, but they are in fast cars enough to get away and still keep their double points, which I think ultimately, obviously, McLaren wants. They want to make sure that they're both in a really good spot. And I think they might even rather have that than have one of them win. And then, lose one of the podiums that they were going to get. So I could be wrong there. That's at least my point of view of it. I wouldn't have changed anything. They didn't give team orders, which is also good. I don't think they should have done that. So
yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, that's where you have to be right now when you got two arguably elite drivers right now. I mean, arguably everybody in F1 is elite. That's why they're in F1.
I mean, they're both the world. Like, they're both competing for the same championship at the moment. Mm-hmm. They're each other's rivals, so.
For sure. And at the end of the day, a 2-3 finish is going to just keep solidifying that constructors as well.
I do need to dispute you on the fact that I do actually think the McLaren was the fastest car there this weekend. I do just think that... the McLaren was the fastest car, but Max Verstappen just is Max Verstappen.
I see what you
mean. He was the difference between the McLaren and the Red Bull was not massive enough. I do think that the McLaren was faster than the Red Bull, but only slightly faster than the Red Bull, and Max Verstappen just made up the difference.
See, that's where I don't actually agree with you for once. I don't know. Like, for the most of the beginning part of that race, Verstappen felt like he was truly just driving away from the McLarens. I mean, he was building a solid lead, and it wasn't just the safety cars that gave him that lead. I mean, he built a solid lead on him, and I don't know. Man,
but how much of that is...
Red Bull did really feel fast, and then Yuki battling up to P10 from starting in the pit. Disgusting. did you see that?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
No, we were talking about Yuki. Disgusting work.
Disgusting work.
Unbelievable.
But I don't know. I felt like Red Bull was pretty quick for once.
I felt like they were very
quick. I haven't felt like they have been that quick this year. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I would like to add just inter- can I add a point?
Is that the talking stick?
Yeah,
we got
the talking max.
Yeah, the talking max.
So you you had talked about, and I was actually about to, I guess, rescind and agree with you, but then you start talking, and now I'm think I'm on your side again.
Then you opened your gums.
I mean, it's hard to say because I look at it as like you're right. The McLarens probably were the faster car, but the like. The car that was the fastest in general was Max Verstappen and his car.
Okay.
That's kind of like my, like, I, like in terms of like the team, I don't know. I still think like, because you're right, Max Verstappen was pulling away from them, and I don't know if that's driver error. Maybe their car just wasn't set up as well as the Red Bulls were or as well as Max was, because the McLarens were not catching up. Like, that is not the form that I see McLaren usually at. Granted, they were both under Dirty Year the entire time, which is not, well, not the entire time, I guess. But when they were, actually, yeah, not the entire time. They had a big enough gap where they weren't, and they still weren't catching Max. So I don't know. I think Max is obviously, he's Max Verstappen. He's going to be, you know, probably the best driver on the grid with even with a bad car. The car, the Red Bull, in my opinion, was not as bad as it has been earlier this season. Is it faster than the McLaren if you put Lando Norris in the Red Bull versus probably not? But I still think it was faster than the McLaren this weekend. I don't know. I just feel like I'm ranting now. I don't know.
No, you're good.
All to
you're
say,
good.
I don't know.
You're good. It's fine.
I think you're
it's
both.
Fine.
I think you're both right and wrong at the same time.
Awesome. Valid. You're playing. You're doing a really good job of playing devil's advocate.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Ferraris. Hamilton finishing P4. Yeah. Leclerc finishing P6. Yeah. Considering the weekend they had, I am thrilled if I'm Ferrari and leaving there with a P4 and P6. Yeah. To be honest with you. I mean, that P4 wasn't necessarily easy even. No. I mean, Albon had a great day.
Mm-hmm.
So, for Ferrari, I don't know. They had really good straight line speed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I don't know. Some still don't feel right. I think they got lucky with P4, P6. I still think realistically they're a P7, P8 team right now. So, again, I'm happy if I'm them. Leclerc was upset about the virtual safety car and how he always gets screwed, he thinks.
Yep.
That was funny, but partially
he
true.
He did, too. He got screwed. Yeah.
So.
He was on a mission. He was cutting through the field.
Yeah.
He was racing real hard, and,
yeah,
that safety car set him back so far.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
He also had a comment about being extremely unlucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he said something along the lines of, like, I don't know how I can be so unlucky, man, or something like that. I don't remember the exact clip. I don't know if you guys got it or not, but
no, I did not get it. But speaking of, if we have any Ferrari fans out there, let's get one of you guys on, or girls for that matter. If you are a listener or watcher of Banner with the Boys, let's figure it out. Let's
go.
If you're local to Minnesota.
When I'm on the social apps, I feel like there's a ton of Ferrari
100%,
fans, but I don't know 100%. If I've ever actually met one.
100%. Maybe I just got to like start. I have like
Colin. Oh, I guess Colin is a Ferrari fan. That's a good point.
They're both Ferrari.
You guys got buddies that are Ferrari fans?
Yeah.
Do they listen to the show?
No. Sort of.
What the heck, dude? All right.
He's not a podcast listener.
Get him to be a podcast listener, okay? But what's his name?
Colin.
Colin, get your stuff together,
we'll
buddy. Put all your stuff together.
We'll make sure
and put it in
this.
A bag so it's all together. And excuse me. Yeah, you might have to bleep that one, and just get it together here. All right, anyway.
Dang.
Wow. Yeah, it's not pregame. Anyway, Ferraris. All right, P4, P6.
Williams.
I mean, we have to talk about Williams now.
We do. Let's talk about Williams.
That's crazy.
Holy. Okay, first I just want to note. I need your guys' take on this as well. Does Albon keep P4 if Leclerc doesn't push him off like that?
Maybe.
Because he lost two positions and only got it back because Leclerc gave it back to him.
Yeah.
And then he was stuck in P5.
Mm.
He was defending
Yes, he does keep it. I mean, he had a great day.
He had such an
amazing
day.
Team had a great day. I mean,
team, yeah. Carlos had a good day, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a note here somewhere. It was towards the beginning where I start typing these questions to myself right as they're doing the, what's the beginning lap?
Formation lap.
Formation.
Yeah, when they're doing the formation lap. I start asking myself questions to keep an eye on, and one of them was the battle between Williams, Aston, Alpine. Can Ferrari add their name to this list as well? I mean, Williams had a freaking phenomenal day. And Ferrari absolutely added their name to that list, turns out. But today, anyway, or for that race anyway. But, yeah, Albon and I don't know. I mean, I think we're going to see a lot more of this in the future. I mean, I think they're trending in the right direction right now.
I hope so. I hope you're wrong in that it's not just an upgrade thing. And yeah, I really hope they are able to carry this momentum through the rest of the year.
I mean, we haven't seen bad things from Williams the past few races.
No, we've seen amazing things. Yeah,
they're making traction, you know.
It's also okay. It's also very early in the season. We've seen 100%, time and 100%, again
100%.
Half like back half of the season, people like teams just fall off, right?
Right. And so Alpine goes up, right? So that's what I'm waiting on.
Yeah, fair.
They're finishers. They're not starters. They're finishers.
Yeah, well, I'd wish they'd be whole seasoners. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not everyone could be McLaren.
Good Lord. Okay. But Williams, anyway, yeah. You said, somebody here said, I'm assuming this is you, Joe, Albon with a great strategy and only losing fourth, getting pushed off near the end. Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with that. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what they can do next week. Again, I think actually Monaco is going to be a real big test for teams like Williams, Alpine, actually those four teams I listed. Williams, Aston, Alpine, Ferrari. Where are these four teams actually going to be at? I mean, Monaco is truly going to tell us where they're at, where their car is at.
Last race was Miami, right? Before Imola?
Before this one? That sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think if Monaco lends to the same quirks as Imola and Miami does, and I don't know if it does.
I mean, first off, for Monaco, you got to know the track.
Right.
That in and out, all these drivers.
It's incredibly
all
technical.
These drivers know that.
Yeah.
All these drivers know this track.
Yeah.
You know, they probably spend a ridiculous amount of time memorizing every single thing about this track. So I'm not worried about that. Literally with any of the drivers, rookies, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this track's going to be all about that quality lap. You know what I mean? So
it's incredibly technical. I'm excited, so you have to think like, it's
never
not
been
about
this excited
being
for Monaco.
Really?
It's for the rookies. We'll get into it.
I did just go pull it up for whatever it's worth. Yeah. Williams is now 31 points ahead of Haas. So,
whoa.
They're handily.
Where's Aston right now?
Just out of curiosity. Aston has 14 race points to Haas's 20. So okay.
All right. Is Aston at the bottom right
interesting
now?
Interesting.
What's up?
Who's at the very bottom of the list?
Sauber.
Sauber, right.
Yeah, of course.
And then it's.
And then Renault Alpine is 1 point ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
7-6.
Bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
Just
bad.
Imagine. And you know, Nico.
7-6. Being kicked Sauber
Nico,
by one. Don't even.
Nico was sniffing the points this
he
weekend.
He was.
Nico made
actually
an overtake into points.
Yeah, he did. He did.
He didn't lose
had
it,
a good
unfortunately,
race.
But like.
It was fun to see.
That's crazy. That man
yeah, they were like,
the heck out of that. Because
the commentators got excited about it. They were like, yeah. Whoa, the Sauber making a move.
I was excited for it. Because it was like just kind of like we were lulling a bit, and I was like, whoa, what the?
I did the same thing. I'm literally sitting here, I'm like doing my thing, and the commentators were like, and a Sauber in 10th. I'm like, oh, what? And I look at it, I was like, oh my god,
yeah, I know. I think my wife was actually making food in the kitchen at that time, and I was like, whoa, and she's like, what's going on? I was like, Sauber's making a move,
great.
And she's like,
anyways,
you want cheese on your sandwich?
Yes, please.
Yeah, that was an egg, bacon, and cheese sandwich, it was amazing. Anyway, let's see. After Williams, we got
Aston?
Mercedes. Nah, it'll be Mercedes. Merck. Because Georgie finished P7. Antonelli, somebody, that was another question I had pre-race. It says, can Kimi get into points from P12? He did not.
Tough.
But that was disappointing for him. I mean, car dead. Home race for him. So that's just crappy way to end it there. But George, I mean, tough day after a somewhat decent weekend, honestly, for George.
If I'm George, I'm shaking this off. It's literally his first time this season being out of the top five.
And again, I think Ferrari's, I'm not saying they got lucky, but I trust Williams finishing 5-8 again before I would trust Ferrari finishing 4-6 again. 100%.
Wow.
100% right now.
Huh, and that's interesting.
And I put Ferraris in my P2 for constructors, you know what I mean? But at this point, like from what I've seen from Ferrari, it's just I think this might it could be an anomaly, you know what I mean?
That's interesting. I think we talked about this a little bit last week. just like consistency wise. Like,
listeners, yeah. Do you think Williams is going to finish? Would you take Williams to finish 5-8 again this season, or Ferrari to finish 4-6 again this season?
I feel like Ferrari comes back. You know,
you would think.
They did just bring an upgrade package
for Monaco.
No, they brought an upgrade package to Imola.
And it showed. It still wasn't better than Williams.
But again, it was on par. But again, FPs weren't that great.
But also, like, Ferrari, you think about it,
quality wasn't that great.
They did kind of get hosed in qualifying. Both drivers kind of got hosed in Q2.
They
got hosed because they got beat by Aston.
Yeah, they weren't very good in Q2.
I mean, like, They both had moments in their qualifying. Like, it was just driver mistakes. And that sort of thing happens.
Fair enough.
So,
I think the car really showed out a lot more.
So, I think we need to give them another race or two and see how this upgrade has settled in. If their move up to 4-6 was an anomaly or not. So, I think give it some time to breathe and we'll see.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'll give them also a little bit of grace because the tires were weird.
They were weird this weekend. So.
Fair enough. Well, we got into that after talking about Mercedes, so whoops. Again, George finishing P7, Antonelli DNFing.
Sad. Yeah, I mean, I think this is technically his home race. I guess Monza probably will be his home race, but this is his second home race.
Yeah. So next actually would be Racing Bulls with Hadjar finishing P9.
Heck yeah, dude.
Liam finishing P14. Somebody put in here, Hadjar carrying the team and also helping out Red Bull. Oh.
It's time.
You know what? I already know where this is going. I have a feeling I already know where this is going. It's about Red Bull having four cars on the track.
Wow, you're right. That's exactly where it's going.
I almost texted you when I was watching the race. I was like, oh, you guys have already watched
it. I've said it 1,000 times. Now, it ended up not really being that big of a deal. He didn't end up actually really fighting Piastri a ton.
But he really could have, though. I was actually concerned about it.
And it was the fact that the commentators were like, I think I highlighted this in my notes because of how angry it made me. Hadjar was lapping.
You're sitting there like this.
So the commentator said Hadjar was lapping a second slower than Verstappen. Effectively helping Verstappen gain his lead by slowing down the DRS train. And I said, which is stupid if that was how it was planned, because you got four cars working for a team. It's just,
yeah, it's
asinine. It's crazy.
I think that they should look at,
I was like, how much you want to bet it was planned?
I think they should look at Visa Cash App Racing Bulls assisting Red Bull the same way that like a Mercedes would assist Ferrari. They're two completely different teams. They should not be interloping like that. They should not be assisting each other get wins. It is bad for the integrity of the sport.
But just because you shouldn't doesn't mean you can't.
But I'm saying
typically I'm the opposite of that, by the way, but
I'm saying they should make it so that they can't. I think I don't have a problem with Red Bull having four cars on the grid. And if you want to move your drivers around, I don't care. But when it comes to interlocking strategies like that and having drivers at a different team, because like you think about it, they've got a team that's in the midfield and a driver like Oscar who pits. He moves back in the order because he came out of the pit early.
Gets blocked by Hadjar.
And then he gets blocked by
a V-carb or whatever.
By a V-carb because that V-carb is going to be in the midfield. Mm. And then it gives them in the front an unfair advantage that no other team has. And that is just, it's dumb. I hate it.
Or is that just taking advantage of the current system? You know, like
it is taking advantage of the system, and that's why I'm making the call that the like Formula One is notorious for changing the rules. Like teams look for ways to game the system. That is what Formula One is. It's what it's always been.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Formula One, the FIA, changed those rules to be like, okay, no more of that. Slap on the hand, you're done. And so, when are we going to see that change happen?
I miss the days where Lawson was fighting Perez, man. That was awesome, you know? Literally, the two teams, instead of helping each other, are going against each other. That was sick.
He's just real upset still. Okay. You got to give him some slack. He's upset about Nick DeVries.
It's hard. I feel like I agree with you. It's going to be incredibly... Oh, my God. I'm going to puke. It's going to be incredibly hard to govern because... It's like, are the teams making these calls or are the drivers doing it because they want to get promoted into that better car? Like, Hadjar wants to look like a team player. He wants to play for Red Bull. If you're asked to do it, you're going to do it no matter what. But even if you aren't asked to do it, you're still like...
Is it asking, though? It's being told to do it.
Right. Like, even if you're getting information like, hey, Max is leading... Oscar is now, Oscar has just pit and is now behind you. You're given that information and you're making the conscious effort to like, I'm going to slow Oscar down because I know it's going to help Max's race. If that's on you as a driver, I was like, you know what? Weird, but go for it. If the team's telling you to do it, and that's where it's
why
like, how
it weird,
can you
though?
Govern
why is it weird, though? If you're
because
the driver, why is it weird?
Because you should be worrying about your own race.
For sure.
And not making yourself look good
for
in front
sure.
of potentials.
For sure. But if that number two seat right now isn't necessarily a lock... Like, yeah, Yuki yeah. battled his way, but at that moment in time, as far as you know, Yuki crashed
yeah.
in quali and had to start from the pit. That seat is not locked up right
no,
now.
Yeah.
So, like...
No, it's definitely... The V-carb team is essentially just
it is a disadvantage to everybody else. So I would agree with that.
It's not a... I mean, Williams is a sister team to Mercedes in that a lot of their development drivers get put in Williams first and then maybe eventually get into Mercedes. It's not guaranteed, obviously, just like it isn't with V-carb up to Red Bull, but V-carb up to Red Bull is definitely more like a more natural, obvious path.
For sure.
Right? It's just that... That connection there is way too close. They don't feel like their own team. They feel like Red Bull's second team. And that's where the problem lies with me.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Because then you got to get two Red Bull shirts. I get it. anyway, so real quick, we just got to run through these. We'll have our Haas moment and our Alpine moment, of course, as we have in-house fans. But Aston finishing P11, P15 after having a freaking ridiculous quali. Couldn't finish.
I feel like they had a really good start, too.
I think
like
they are ones
making,
that...
Making moves up.
Yeah, they might be a casualty of the safety car situation. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think the safety car definitely didn't help, but then they didn't help themselves a lot afterwards, either.
Of course not.
Back to their old shenanigans.
Because it's Aston this year, strategy, and Aston this year is not... Not performing to P5, P6 in constructors like we have so predicted, unless
like
you are Mike.
So
unless you're a Mike. Kick Sauber, Hülkenberg finishing P12, Bortoleto P18. Hulk again, we saw the crazy overtake early, got everybody excited, including the commentators. Bortoleto, bad car. I mean, honestly, I can't judge anything he's doing at this point until we get into Audi, and then even next year, I can't really judge it still even yet. I mean, is it going to be a new... You know what I mean? Everything's new.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
The only thing we have to, like, compare for Bortoleto is Hülkenberg, and Hülkenberg is also struggling, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's driving the crap out of
that car. He's driving it better than Bortoleto, but this is, Bortoleto's seventh race, so...
Yeah.
Haas, go for it.
Yeah, that was just disappointing. I don't know what to tell you. Like, Ollie had car problems, and...
And I don't like Ocon, but watching the car just die like that, nobody wants that, dude. Yeah, like, that's garbage. This is the highest level of sporting, for racing anyway, and we're just going to have engines just conk out or whatever. Whatever it is. Do you know what it was?
It's, it was just an engine. It was just a power failure.
Yeah. Lame.
So,
lame.
As disappointing as it is, a part of me likes chaos does kind of like when stuff like that happens because it just kind of... throws a wrench in the race, and that's kind of what I'm here for. I like seeing the weird action happen.
So he likes his team sucking.
It's disappointing that it's happened
to
my team.
I was gonna say, but
he misses
not when it's your team.
It's disappointing when it happens to my team.
He misses Haas being bad.
I am objective enough to say that, like, it's going to happen to my team. If I want it to happen to other teams, I have to be okay with it happening to my team, too. It makes the races interesting, so it is what it is.
Let's see. Alpine, Gasly, mid. Got into Q3. Cool. Did nothing with it as soon as he got there. Bad race all the way around. Colapinto, Crasher Pinto, according to Joe. He crashed in quali, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, so I think that is when a camera caught Jack Doohan walking around schmirking.
Really?
You seen it, Kev? Kev's seen it. Yes, sir.
I can see that.
Jack Doohan was caught smirking after that, and it's like, I don't blame him.
I don't blame him.
You know what I mean?
Well, even the announcer heard it and saw, was like, well, that was like earlier in the day. And he was like, oh, no, that was just now.
I don't know. That was pretty wild to me. We'll see. He's got five races, right?
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. P16 for
Fabio had some good things to say about him. So
let's see. I put Calm Chaos. Is that what I put, or did you put that?
You put that.
I put that. I don't know if we're gonna stick with that, but I guess that's what's gonna be called this week.
Rotate names every week.
Calm Chaos. Joe. Yep. Joe, what do you have?
I think I already mentioned one of them from the FP1 commentator about how, you know, it's absolute nonsense that he's given that they're swapping it out every single five races or however they're going to do it at LP.
I mean, it is. It is nonsense.
The other one I have.
It's so weird being a driver in that situation, right? Like, do I have a seat in a couple races?
Maybe. It's crazy. The other one I have is from Ted Kravitz, who is our pit lane commentator. Yep. After seeing a mix of tires come out in Q3, we saw, I think it was Russell on the mediums and maybe a couple other people on mediums and everyone else on hards. Ted Kravitz said, "The C6, the strangest of all tires," in a spooky kind of ghost voice.
The strangest of all tires. Oh,
yeah.
That's amazing.
Because it was like, honestly, it was, right? Like, Friday it looked amazing, and then Saturday it looked really bad. Strange. So, yeah, those are the only two I have. I don't know if you guys have anything. That's awesome.
I had a couple. This one isn't like funny or whatever. It just says it was Oscar saying, "Plan A is very ambitious at the moment on lap 12." I don't know. I just like when people can use ambitious organically. So I think that I think that's why I had it in here.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind going forward. I'm gonna start using the word ambitiously.
Ambitious.
You're just gonna be like, yes.
The other one I just had was from Alonzo on lap 44. Quote, "Yeah, it's going to be torture. It's a wreck, period. I am the unluckiest driver in the effing world." That's just Fernando Alonso being Fernando Alonso.
God bless him.
My favorite rookie. Yeah, bless his heart. And then the commentators kept cracking me up, dude. The whole race, they kept referring to people wearing McLaren colors as wearing papaya. They're like, "Look at all these people wearing papaya out here amongst the Ferrari fans." Amongst the Tifosi, actually, is what they kept saying.
Do we tell them?
It just cracked me up, calling them the papaya. It just, I don't know. I like that.
Wait, do really? We tell them?
Oh, yeah. The commentators were referring to the McLaren fans as wearing papaya and being the papaya.
Smelty, that's like a thing.
Really?
A thing,
you know, dude, I've never heard them do it before.
That's a very big thing with McLaren.
Wow, yeah, I've never heard them, like, other than like the
drivers are the papaya rules.
I've heard, like, the papaya rules. Like, that wasn't surprising.
It's not orange, it's papaya. Right.
I get that, but like wearing the papaya, I've never heard them refer to it in that way. Like,
You've never heard the commentators talk about the McLarens all the time as the papaya cars.
I know that. Yeah. I've heard about the cars and the team and all that. It's the fans specifically, like, wearing papaya. Like,
yeah.
I'd never heard it put that way before. So that cracked me up.
Especially like when they're going to like Zandvoort and there's a lot of like Max fans wearing orange. Yeah. They'll constantly say, "A lot of papaya fans here today."
It's definitely not. God, that's hilarious. Anyway, and then a couple just real quick before we move to news, a couple of random notes that I should have thrown in at the beginning for the track that they mentioned just on the thing. Record-breaking weekend attendance.
Yeah.
242,000 people.
Nice.
They said Imola is also one of the longest pit roads on the schedule. I thought that was interesting. Obviously, the margin of error being very small. And then this was my note. I think it's the third to last turn. Don't have seen what turn number it is because I don't know. I feel like at least in F1 in the video game, I would probably fly through that turn the first time through until I realize what the braking point is. But it just seems like ridiculously heavy braking and seems like it just blows my mind that nobody locks up there. But these guys have also been racing.
The turn with like the chicane and the grass there.
It's right at the end of the lap, though. It's like three to the last turn.
Okay.
Third to the last turn.
Yeah. So like at the top of the hill.
It's like it's a right hand turn. Boom, boom. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you got the curve going back around to the finish line. But,
oh no! So you're talking about the double hairpin then?
Yeah, the double.
Or not the double hairpin, but the yes. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's almost like a double.
I love that turn in the game.
It's crazy.
That's. Like, I'm locking up there probably.
Because you can, if you do it right, you almost can just, like, coast through it.
Yeah, get off the gas and just fly through it. Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, go ahead.
I also had some quick notes that are just kind of fun that I overheard during the race. One thing is that, or during qualifying, is that Liam Lawson has never qualified higher than 12th, at least this year.
Interesting.
So far this year, he has yet to qualify higher than 12th, which is great.
Interesting.
And to make matters even worse, his teammate, Isaac Hajar, has yet to be knocked out in Q1.
Oh, whoa. That's awesome.
Whoa.
Which is crazy.
I didn't know that.
Year, I think. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's like super blowing me out of the water. I'm like super shocked by him. So, yeah, that's, and it makes, only makes Liam look
yet
worse.
To be knocked out of Q1.
Yet to be knocked out of Q1.
That's awesome.
That's actually kind of crazy.
Yeah, his qualifying is really good.
Wow.
That's really, really okay. Awesome. Do you have anything else?
That was it.
Okay. Dang it.
I'll make this really quick because I know we're getting on time.
We're always on time.
okay. It's said that to make room for Madrid, Imola could be removed starting next year.
Yep. Don't like it.
So I just want,
I'm here
that's
for
that's
it.
Exactly what I want to ask. I want to know what your guys' take is on that. So
I like Imola.
Start with you, Schmelzy. You like Imola, you don't want to see it to go.
I don't want to see it go. Just add another race.
No.
What?
Sure. Whatever.
24 is already a lot.
The whatever. 25.
So upset with
25 is the new 24. 25
is a good number.
There's actually been talks about trying to cut races.
No.
And,
don't do
and
that.
Cut down from 24 because 24 is so many.
No.
And like, there's talks about like going on like a schedule and like 1 year we'll go to Imola and the next we'll go to Madrid as an example and like alternate.
Okay, that way, I don't hate that.
That way we could cut down on the number
much.
Of races. It also helps them cut down on their carbon emissions so that they can hit their goal for 2030.
What's their goal for 2030?
Zero carbon emissions by 2030. I don't know.
Obviously they're offsetting
How are you gonna be flying all that crap, like the cars or like F1 as a whole.
F1 in general.
No, dog, that's not gonna happen.
They've been saying that for a long time. They're offsetting it a lot with obviously, like you know, like, you know, like I can't remember like carbon contracts or whatever the hell that they're called. But I really like Imola. I think that this is just a weird. It's hard to overtake there, but we saw some fairly good overtakes. I think this weekend. It's hard for me to say get rid of the track because I like a lot.
It is an old school track, though.
I think if you were to put it up against many of the other tracks, I probably would.
It's
would
lower
go
on
with
the
other
list.
Track. I think
it's lower on the list.
Yeah, or Monaco. You know, like obviously it's like really, it's really iconic.
Would you like to have Monaco stay on the on the schedule?
No,
over
man.
Imola?
No, I want Imola over Monaco because like Monaco is incredibly like iconic and it's like everyone's like you know it's a party and everything. But the viewing experience of Monaco is bad. It's just not a fun race to watch.
Right.
It's incredibly boring.
Yeah, like quali's fun. Because you know how much weight it holds.
Quality is fun, but then it's like the weekend's over.
Right. That's what I mean, though. Yeah, for sure. Unless you're Sergio Perez and you make it more interesting on lap one.
True.
Anyway.
Or either of the Haases.
Or either the Haas. You know, there's a couple things that could happen. Yeah. Anyway, Kev, let's probably just head right into news here right quick.
All right, so in news, very light news week, I'll say.
No problem.
One of them being Formula One and the Disney new collaboration. And there's no real details about this.
I heard something.
It has
this.
Been mentioned that Disney and F1 will be collaborating starting next year with like the Mickey Mouse and Friends kind of suite entering the high speed world of F1. Again, not sure what this means or what this is going to look like.
Look like.
Got a little southern there.
That
son.
Was weird. I got a little southern.
What this look like?
They debuted with like a Mickey Mouse and Friends F1 car, I think, down in Disney.
You know what's funny too is funny enough. So the cards that I ripped for F1, it's Topps Chrome is the series. I think they're starting to Topps in general is starting to partner with bigger things with F1 and UFC with like. Instead of pulling a card, now you pull a ticket to the event or whatever, and now you just get to go.
Interesting.
I think, or some like experience or whatever.
That's really interesting.
So I think that maybe that's part of that too, because I know there's like Disney related things in it as well, but I don't really know. I just listen to other podcasts.
Yeah, like I don't know what this means, but obviously. When they come down to Miami, I'm sure there'll be a pretty big something happening. Maybe it means F1's going on to Disney Plus at some point, too.
Yo,
I don't know. This is like incredibly early. Like, this is me speculating, and I know nothing. Okay, the last thing I want to talk on, I don't want to talk very, very long on it because it's kind of toxic. Yuki and Colapinto had a moment during qualifying, I think, were Colapinto. He actually impeded a couple of people, but he impeded Yuki, and Yuki, I think, flipped him off on track. And Yuki's been receiving racist comments, hate from Colapinto's fan base. Just want to go out and say, that's not cool. That's not why I like the sport. Like, you know,
it's definitely not cool. And unfortunately, Yuki hasn't been the only recipient of some of that.
Yeah.
From Colapinto fan base, or do we dare say Argentinian?
Yeah. I mean, that's the majority base. Of them. But, I want to call it the entire.
I know. Me either, because there's going to be some good eggs.
Yeah. I do want to point out, too, that Colapinto, after all this went down, he actually went out personally and was like, to all of my fans, I appreciate you guys, like, defending me and trying to stand up for me and everything like that. Please stop.
Yep.
Like, you guys are being incredibly rude, and I do not want this to be associated to me. I am not proud of the way that you are representing me as a racer.
Did not see this.
Yeah, and he came out and made, like, an official statement telling his fans, like, y'all need to calm down because you guys are going way over the line.
Yep.
Interesting.
As did Alpine. Thank you for mentioning that.
Oh, I see the Alpine thing come out.
Thank you for mentioning that, because I'm not trying to say Colapinto's a bad guy. I'm just saying his fan base is toxic.
Yeah,
Colapinto's probably fine.
Yeah.
This is his first race. He's going to make mistakes, because that wasn't Yuki's fault. He shouldn't be deserving the hate he's getting for being in an incredibly fast car.
I mean,
getting
flipped him
and,
the bird.
Give him the bird, but I mean, you know.
Racers do it all the time.
It's whatever. They probably forgot about it until you weirdos came into the comments, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, okay. That's all I wanted to mention for news. That's all I got. I don't know if you guys
know. No, that's cool.
The other thing I forgot to bring up, I was watching somebody else bring up the Disney thing. What I was hearing speculated is very possible that we see, instead of F1 itself beyond Disney Plus, Drive to Survive move to Disney Plus instead of Netflix.
That I'm not a fan of.
I don't.
That I'm not a fan
because
of.
Because
Netflix is the.
Unless Netflix is going to produce it and Disney's going to pay for it. But other than that, I don't want Disney producing.
Not necessarily Netflix specifically. There is like a specific like company or whatever that is actually the people who produce it. They just happen to like work.
They would have to
Netflix.
Buy the rights to Drive to Survive then, which is a Netflix production.
Yeah.
And also, I wonder if it's going to stop.
I think Disney money.
They could do it. I'm
Which
not saying they
real.
Can't do it, but
Which
it's
is
like
real.
I feel like a lot of like hoops would have to be gone through.
I don't know. I don't like.
And if anybody
like
were going to do
like
it, it'd be Disney.
I don't like it. I don't like.
It's
change.
All speculation.
Nope, leave
so
it alone.
Leave it alone. Stop talking. Stop talking.
Sorry.
Not even news. Whatever. I'm just kidding. All right, Kev. Let's head right into our Monaco preview.
And I'm here to go up to speed with you.
Joe's here,
for the Monaco Grand Prix. I got here. I made it.
Oh, awesome. He's still here.
We're here to look forward to the Formula One tag. Is it Heuer? Heuer? Tag Heuer?
I don't know.
Formula One Hauer?
I have no idea.
Hauer?
Formula One tag Heuer, Hauer,
we
Heuer.
Don't know.
Grand Prix de Monaco 2025. A fun fact. This is the only race to run a distance of less than 305 kilometers, with 78 laps making just over 260. 305 being the normal like requirement for a regular race. Last year, our starting grid was Leclerc to Piastri, Sainz to Norris. We get a uniform start off the line at the Monaco Grand Prix as the top five stay in position through the first corner. Sainz and Piastri get very close. Sainz actually rubbing his tire against the side pod of Piastri's McLaren, picking up a puncture unbeknownst to all of us up until we get to the casino corner. We watch sparks fly from one of Sainz's wheels, and a moment later he locks up and goes into the very short runoff area of turn four as the rest of the field runs past him. Except for four cars further down the hill, a huge crash between Perez and a pair of Haas in which Magnussen is between the wall and Perez, his front left meeting Checo's back right. Keeping his line, Magnussen runs out of road and clips the back of Checo's tire, sending him sideways up the hill. The Haas of Magnussen pushing him towards the incoming wall, which they collide into.
Amazing.
Bouncing off and collecting the other Haas of Hülkenberg, all while Joe watches from last place.
This is lap one, right?
This
turn
is
one,
lap one.
Right after turn one.
And wait, there's more. Further up the grid on the same lap, our Alpine boys have a moment before the tunnel
that's
in which
right.
Ocon makes the overtake on the inside of the corner, giving his teammate no room to breathe by exit of said corner. Gasly responds naturally by keeping his line, avoiding the wall, resulting in Ocon's rear in the air as he tires the tire.
That's what got Ocon
fired.
That's what got Ocon fired.
It definitely didn't look good for Ocon. He goes into the pits and retires shortly after. A red flag is called, and after the cleanup efforts are complete, the order is given. Gracing signs with a second chance as he gets to reclaim his P3 for the race restart. The race restarts on lap 3, and the entire field gets away without issue, starting their long and albeit somewhat mundane journey of 78 laps through the Monaco roads. Stroll and Bottas do pit during the race and get a couple of good overtakes in. However, Stroll ends up with a puncture, his work for naught, as he falls to last. With fresh, soft tires, he is able to use them up without a care and starts to provide us with a little more entertainment as he begins cutting through the bottom of the field. We get to see some really close calls between Piastri and Leclerc, Oscar giving him very little breathing room but unable to make a move. Stick ahead, Leclerc finally crosses the finish line of his hometown in first place. Now, I'd like to quickly quote, if I can, Alex Jake's commentary as Charles crossed the line, because it's probably, in my opinion, probably the best part of the race itself. Yeah. So I'm just going to quote what he said. His career finished without the intervention of the late Jules Bianchi, who said to Ferrari, "You've got to take this guy. You've got to make sure he gets to Formula One." And what a gift that was to give. In 2017, Charles Leclerc lost his father, and in his final days, he told his father a white lie, that he'd made it to Formula One, that he'd signed a contract. It wasn't true then, but his driving was made it true now, and look what he's done with the opportunity. The grandstands he saw built as a kid growing up now rise for him, and for the first time in 93 years, this fabled race is won by one of their own. Charles Leclerc wins the Monaco Grand Prix to achieve his dream. Our final is Leclerc to Piastri, Sainz to Norris, Russell to Verstappen, Hamilton to Tsunoda, finishing out with Albon.
Honestly, Leclerc winning was the best part of the Grand Prix.
It was.
It was amazing.
It's a season highlight. It was. It was a season highlight for me.
It was so cool.
Dang.
It was amazing.
And I'm not a Ferrari fan.
Me neither.
But, like, yeah, that one, that race emotionally got me. To be honest, like that was wild. That was wild. It won't happen this year, but that was wild.
What do you mean?
It's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. But no, incredible. I think we're gonna get a completely different race this year, though.
Yeah.
So for the first time ever, up to speed doesn't help me with my predictions.
I think. Oh yeah, that's a great point. I think it's still gonna be fairly cool. Well, actually, yeah, I guess not.
For the first time ever.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
Yeah.
It was an amazing job as always, but you don't help me. Yeah. You're not helping my case here.
Yeah, we are referring to Monaco now, two-stop pit rule. I was watching a video earlier today, just someone talking about if they didn't pit for the second time, it's a 30-second penalty.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Okay, I mean, that's...
It's not insignificant, and that's even if like the race cannot restart after like a crash or something.
Right.
If you cannot restart and you still have not pit a second time, it's 30 seconds.
I just imagine like Max from 2 years ago being like only 30 seconds.
Yeah. So to recap last week, Joe and Mike both got 3 points. I grabbed 2. So our standings now... Mike leading by 2.
He's got
20 points on the season. Joe and Smelty tied at 18. So that means Smelty goes last. I just made it up right now.
Yeah, that's fair.
For the first time this year. Yeah, so valid. Joe has to go before me so he can't steal my answers, like, obviously, because he's got the same points as me. So it's obviously been it's the same thing. Even though you called me a wild card last week, actually.
Okay.
Listening
Let's
back.
Let's be honest.
Which, to be
all
fair.
All of your predictions are kind of wild card.
To be fair. Anyway.
Oh, man.
Mike. Yeah, I mean, you're on the spot. It's Monaco.
It's Monaco. It's
gotta
crazy.
It's got to be fast cars, man.
It's crazy, man. It is crazy out here. So.
You're going to. Wait, you're going, right?
Yeah.
He's gonna be on one of the yachts. Yeah, Monaco.
I'll be out there.
Not the fake ones at Miami. He's
oh, no,
be
I'm
on
not going to be on a yacht.
Ones.
I'm going to be swimming in the harbor. It's the only way I can
Ooh,
get anywhere
even
near.
Even better.
I'm
going
to have to be treading
F1
water.
Going by.
And he'll only be in the harbor for about 2 laps before he gets arrested.
Yep, precisely. but I'll go out kicking and screaming. Don't you worry.
Yep.
Anyway, so
Can't
my
wait to see
predictions.
On the camera.
In third.
Starting at 3.
Okay, yeah. In third, I'm going to be going with George Russell.
Mistake.
Interesting.
Yep.
Even though George has got me some points this year.
Interesting.
I think George is going to be there. In second, I'm going to be putting Max Verstappen.
Interesting.
And in number one, wouldn't you guess it?
I'm going to put Oscar.
Oscar Piastri.
Yeah, Oscar Piastri. Wow.
Very interesting.
Wow, I did not see this podium coming from you, to be honest. I mean, Oscar, yeah, that's a given right now. But, like, other than that...
Oscar came in second last year.
To be honest, I did not see this coming.
Like, take away Charles Leclerc, and I think, like, their qualifying was really close, if I remember correctly. Charles just barely edged out Oscar in qualifying last year. So... Yeah, I don't know. It's Oscar's fast on this track, and he's got a fast car right now, and he's looking better than ever. So, also, I found out, for whatever it's worth, I don't know if you want this to affect you guys or not, McLaren holds more wins in Monaco than any other team. Fun fact.
Really? Fun fact. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Do you want to know another fun fact?
Sure.
Lando has podiumed here a lot. So with that in mind, my top three, I'm going to start with first. It's going to be Oscar Piastri.
Yeah, valid.
Second is going to be Lando Norris.
Sure.
Third one I'm struggling with. I think my gut is Max. However, Max didn't do well here last year. Mm. He was strongly in fifth, I believe, like the entire time, obviously. But I don't think I trust the Ferraris right now. And, man, George does find his way on that podium more often than not, doesn't he? That being said, I'm going to be a little different from you, and I'm going to put Max as my third.
Okay. He hasn't, but I'll tell you, in the last one, two, three, four, five races, George has won podium.
In the last five races?
In the last five races.
Two, three, four. No, that's more than that. One.
Oh, wait, I see another George. Four, five. Sorry.
He has two in the last five.
Three in the last six.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, and four in the last seven. One, two.
So you're sticking with... Yeah. Oh, wait, 40%? You didn't go Georgie. Oscar, Lando, Max. Huh.
I didn't go George.
That's crazy. George. My podium is almost the same. Oscar is one. Lando is two. Which is the first time I think I've taken Oscar Lando back-to-back, by the way.
Can I guess who your third is?
Go for it.
Okay, Charles Leclerc. Look at me for a second.
Go for it.
Look at me for a second. Is it Charles?
It is Charles Leclerc. It's Charles Leclerc. It's Charles Leclerc. Dang, Joe.
It's between Charles and George.
You're starting to get to know me after 2 years.
There's no way
you're
going to pick Max.
Okay, so you're locked in, right?
Yeah, I'm locked. Okay, Oscar, cool. Lando,
so
Charles,
I'm gonna argue my points here because y'all gave me weird looks. So Oscar's, I think, is gonna win because he's super fast, right?
Yeah, we both have Oscar winning.
We all agreed Oscar was gonna win, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So that's
correct.
Cool. Correct. Max is just Max Verstappen. We saw how fast that car was last time. We know how good he is at hooking up a one lap pace.
Except he wasn't here last year, so that's fine. But
huh?
He wasn't good at hooking up a one pace lap last year.
Okay, he did win last week though.
Like, sure, yeah. So he messed up one time in Monaco.
Well, he was consistently not in the top running last year, but that's fine.
What's your other argument?
The argument is that he is Max Verstappen, and that's all we need to hear. Yeah.
That's the only argument.
Yeah, it's literally the only thing I need.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
My second argument for it is that Red Bull is notoriously really good at their strategy. They are typically very sound on strategy, and strategy is going to be what wins races.
Checo didn't finish the race last year.
Oh, good point. Yeah, that must have been the strategy, huh? Wow.
The strategy was not to be near the Haas at turn one.
And he failed.
No, the strategy was to overtake the Haas immediately, and
he didn't get
it. He didn't get it done.
But yeah, so Red Bull has good strategy, and I think in a race that's going to revolve around strategy, that's going to benefit them.
Where's Yuki start?
This race.
Actually, you don't care because it's not Red Bull. It's only Max Verstappen.
Yeah, exactly.
What is this energy?
Yeah, really.
Are
holy
you
cow.
Okay?
No more pre-gaming for you.
Let's just flip the whole table. You guys ready?
And I think George is going to be there because Mercedes also has really good strategy, and George is very consistent driving, and so I think...
Their strategy's been mid this year.
The strategy's been pretty solid.
To me.
The strategy's been pretty solid. I don't know what you're talking about.
They've had their moments.
40%.
I don't know.
I like George.
I'm a half Mercedes fan, so I'd love to see Mercedes on the podium in Monaco. And I'm not saying that my podium is correct. Also, I think Joe's got the safest podium here. Oscar, Pirelli, Lando, Max. That sounds good.
Russell did qualify fifth last year ahead of Verstappen. And if the car is better this year, I think George is actually not a horrible check, which is funny that you put Charles on your podium, to be honest.
I only did it because of the lore.
Yeah, that's fair. That's the only reason why I did it. I appreciate that.
Also, Charles is like one of the best, like, qualifiers in Monaco. Like, he is notoriously good. Yeah. He is notoriously in the top three, and then just not, and then he's DNSing or DNFing.
Right.
Or,
I'll tell you what.
Right. Until last year, right. No, until last year. For real, though.
Him qualifying first this weekend would be crazy.
I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it at all. I think I don't even think he qualifies in the top 3. Like, I think he has to really work to try to get that P3, and who knows.
See, this is why I don't think
it's going to be those two pits, though, and that's where I don't trust Ferrari's, like, engineers, they call them, right? For the tire changers, they still call them all that. They're all, everybody's an engineer.
Mechanics.
They just hand engineer degrees out. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't
get me started. I'm just kidding.
Don't get me started.
I see. See, I'm just kidding. You ready for, like, my hot take?
But, like, real quick, but, like, McLaren's has, other than front right tire changer last week, has had pretty good pit stops all year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. With a mandatory two pit stop, I mean, it's going to be the battle between Red Bull and McLaren most likely. But
I think the fact that you're putting Ferrari up in the top three on a two stop again,
and I talked crap about them this show.
Yeah, a required two stop.
I said they won't finish 4-7 again.
A required two stop. And you're expecting that Ferrari's strategy is going to put Charles Leclerc on the podium.
Wrong. I'm not expecting. I'm hoping.
Okay. No, you know what?
He made it clear.
You know what? That's a valid argument.
He made it clear it was for the dream.
Yep. Yeah.
It's for the dream. I only chose Charles for the lore. That is the only reason.
My fault.
Otherwise,
and you know
history
what?
Tells you I would probably take George.
Yeah, good point.
But I don't know. Some vibe. I don't know. It's Monaco. It's fun.
It's fun. We have fun.
Well,
here.
It's fun for the drivers, maybe. Not maybe. Even. I don't know. Whatever.
I was about to say, I think you're sleeping on Lando, but you had Lando in your podium the last two races, so you're not really sleeping on Lando.
No, yeah. I think, and Lando could do really well here.
He got fourth last year.
Yeah.
Lando's mid.
I think, I don't know. I just don't think. I just don't think we're going to see it. So
fair enough.
I think the McLarens are taking this weekend.
I could see that, yeah. I'm taking a little bit of a gamble. I've got my guts telling me where to go. My gut told me to pick Max Verstappen to win last weekend's race, and I didn't do it. So I'm going to listen to my gut this
week. Really?
If you can go back and listen to what I said last week, where I said that I thought Max Verstappen was going to finish on pole and then lose it. And then I was wrong because he didn't start on pole, but instead
but he
took
won
first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I should have just listened to my gut and just said, you know what? Max Verstappen is going to start on pole and it's going to win.
Well, hey, and just let me know when your gut's telling you that Gasly's getting a podium this year.
I got bad news for you, man.
It's bubble guts.
He's
right
taking
now.
Tums.
It's going to be
I'm taking Tums for Alpine.
Tums for those weekends. He's stopping those feelings immediately.
Oh, my God. All right, fellas. Well, that's going to wrap the show, obviously.
Oh,
I mean, if you're still here, thanks.
It's been great.
That was heartfelt.
It was great.
Joe.
Schmaltzy.
Thanks for being here, Doc.
Thanks for having
me.
We
also realize that we all are wearing something of the jobs that we make money at, which is not Banner with the Boys.
We're NPCs.
But,
correct.
We're just NPCs. Yeah. I love that.
This was not planned.
I love that. Yeah. We're gonna call the hosts of our shows now NPCs.
You can't see the logo on Mike, so Mike works for Haas canonically now.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Let's just cover this up.
Yep. Haas.
There's a
Mike,
Haas factory.
Thanks for being here. You're able to get out of work again. Or,
yep.
Just, you know, he's always like, oh, man, busy day. Not always, but the last two weeks, like, oh, it could be a busy day. And then he just pounds it out and gets here anyway because he loves F1.
I do. That is actually very accurate. I work so hard to try and get out on Thursdays. You have no clue.
So here he is.
I love being here. So that's great.
We love having you.
We've loved having you as the addition. Started as a guest last year. Now, I mean,
they can't get rid of
you. You're not even a guest.
Pretty
anymore.
Much
yeah,
all.
They can't get rid of me.
A permanent seat.
A standing,
you know?
A standing invitation.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, for now. Standing invitation
unless
for
Haas
now.
Haas starts kind of coming back, and then I just can't look at you anymore.
Yeah, that's fair.
Ouch. With that, obviously, Kev behind the scenes getting everything done for you. He's going to keep working after the record button stops. And then, I guess I'm Smelty, and this has been Fast Laps. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe wherever you listen to the banner, whether that's, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts. Oh, YouTube. Don't forget about that one. And I think we're on one more. I can't remember
Radio.
What it is. Did I say iHeartRadio?
Oh.
Well, iHeartRadio twice then.
Double
you know,
down.
They got to pay us for that. Anyway,
YouTube.
With that, let's just get out of here. We'll see you next week. Don't even
Adios.
Worry about it. Don't even
see
worry
ya.
About it.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys.